You've lost your job.
Or you're underemployed. Or your heart's been broken by a relationship with a spouse or a child or a parent or a friend. Or you've watched a lifetime's worth of savings begin to wither in a dire economy. Or a business to whom you've given your life be slowly sapped of its value. These or a thousand other things that break the heart. To these broken hearts, our Lord has something to say. Blessed are you who are poor in spirit, for yours is the kingdom of heaven. Oddly enough, when you go back and look at old sermons from past generations, the ministers will spend a lot of time talking about what does it mean to be poor in spirit? What truly are the poor in spirit? We don't have to ask that question. We already know. I think of the great late preacher, John Claypool, who once said to me, "Life beats us all up." Life beats us all up. Maybe the old preachers couldn't describe the poor in spirit, but Paul Simon, the songwriter, could in his great song, "American Tune." Many's the time I've been mistaken. Many's the time I've been confused. Many the times I felt forsaken and certainly misused. I don't know a soul that's not been battered. I don't have a friend that lives at ease. I don't have a dream that's not been shattered or driven to its knees. That's the poor in spirit. That's the poor in spirit. God seems to have pronounced a paralyzing no over our lives, and we, like Paul, have in supplication asked God to remove this great thorn from our flesh, and God has said to us what God said to Paul, "No. My grace is sufficient." But how are we to keep from despair in the face of this no? Unless we remember and hold to the fact that our God has something else to say to us. A word of promise. A word of power. A word that says, "Blessed are you who are poor in spirit, for yours is the kingdom of heaven." Before we ask, what do those words mean? We must first wrestle with ourselves. Because our first response to being poor in spirit is to take heavily the drug of self-pity. Sometimes we say people wallow in self-pity like a pig wallows in the mud, but that's not a very apt parallel. The mud stays outside the pig. Self-pity becomes inside of us. Self-pity can take control of us. Self-pity can color our every attitude. Self-pity can paralyze us. When we have the drug of self-pity, we can turn ourselves into a perpetual victim. We can become paralyzed by our failure. We can become fixated on our past. To allow self-pity to take control of us is to cut us off from the promise of God, to close us off from the power of God that says, "No, come forth out of brokenness, come forth into blessedness. Blessed are you who are poor in spirit, yours is the kingdom of heaven." Now, what can these strange words mean?
On this Memorial Day, we do well to remember that it's not just our own countrymen who have given their lives for us. I think of the French Resistance during World War II who gave sacrificially to prepare our troops for the D-Day invasion. And the German Gestapo was constantly trying to infiltrate that resistance, to betray those members. And so the French Resistance had to find someone who could test the people who volunteered for the resistance movement and make sure their intentions were true. The French Resistance selected one person for this job. Because he was blind. Not because he was blind, but because he was blind, he had developed a second sight. A sight that allowed him to see into the heart that the people with eyes could not see because of his, quote, handicap. He had more vision than everyone else. And so every volunteer for the resistance had to come before his inquiry before they were approved, and his judgment was unerring. What I am saying to you is, in our moments when we are poor in spirit, we can be granted by God a second sight, a sight to see beyond the superficiality of things, a sight to see the presence and power and comfort of God that we couldn't see when things were going swell. When we are poor in spirit, our souls can be opened up to the presence and penetrating power of God in a way that we can't when we think we don't need help. We grow up thinking, I'm self-sufficient, I'm strong, I can handle anything, I'm bulletproof, and life has a way of bringing us to our knees and shattering that delusion. And when that delusion is shattered, when we are poor in spirit, then the power of God's strength can enter us in a revelatory way. I think of a French reporter kidnapped in Beirut, Lebanon, and kept as a hostage, living in conditions of squalor, of captivity, no freedom, no liberty, no movement. But in that squalor, in that darkness, in that captivity, this journalist, who by his own admission had always been a nominal Catholic, suddenly became aware of the presence and the power of God. In his weakness, in his debility, in his captivity, in his poorness of spirit, suddenly the presence of God was real to him in an extraordinary way that had never been before. And then he was released, and he was overjoyed. But a couple of months later, he wrote a penetrating essay in which he said these words. Now that I have physical liberty, my spiritual powers are not as attuned. Now that I'm free, I don't sense God's nearness and power like I did in captivity. Now I understand what Jesus meant when he said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God." Now, understand something. Even though being broken can lead to blessedness, even though being poor in spirit can open us up to the kingdom of God, God does not want us perpetually broken. There's some Christians who really believe that. You're going through a tough time and someone says, oh, isn't it wonderful? Christ placed you at the foot of the cross so you can understand so many things. People who say that usually aren't at the foot of the cross. Mary Magdalene didn't stay at the foot of the cross. She was there, but she moved to the tomb where she encountered the resurrected Christ. Christ didn't hang on the cross but 3 hours. And it was horrific, it was gruesome, he experienced God's forsakenness, but then it was a prelude to experiencing the Father's resurrection strength. God doesn't intend for us to stay forever broken. He intends for us to claim the promise of blessedness, to move from brokenness to blessedness. And God's grace comes in a variety of forms. It may come in the form of a grace that directly addresses what broke us. It may come in the form of a grace that frees us from being fixated on what broke us. It may come in the form of a grace that completely ignores whatever broke us. It may come in the form that opens up to us new avenues, new ambitions, new aspirations that frees us from whatever broke us. You can't tell what form God's grace will take. You need to understand this, though, as we go into the Beatitudes. The Beatitudes are Jesus' comment and companion to the Ten Commandments. Jesus' comment and companion to the Ten Commandments. You remember the first commandment? I am the Lord your God who brought you out of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit, because those who have been in bondage, Israel was in bondage. That's why it was opened up to receive God's liberating strength. In bondage, you know God is the true God. When you're poor in spirit, you're freed to experience the kingdom of heaven in a way you couldn't otherwise. Jesus gives the best commentary on this passage. When he tells a story, two men walk into the temple and one of them says, oh Lord, thank you for my blessed life. Thank you, you've given me such talent and such goodness. Thank you, I'm not like the thieves and the adulterers and that tax collector. Thank you. And the tax collector is over in the corner where no one can see him. And his face is bent to the floor. And he prays, my God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus said, this man is rich, but this man is on the road to blessedness. This man is good. This man is poor in spirit, and thus ripe to experience the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. Jesus isn't saying here, don't worry, I know things are tough on earth, but they're going to be great in heaven. The kingdom of God can be within you. The kingdom of God was in the heart of that French reporter in captivity. He experienced the kingdom of God as daily strength and presence. On this Memorial Day weekend, my thoughts always turn to the many veterans I have pastored, and especially to about a half dozen men who were among those known as the bastards of Bastogne. One of them was a close friend of mine. These soldiers, American soldiers, fighting desperately against overwhelming odds to hold on to this key city of Bastogne in bitter, bitter cold, against overwhelming odds. And I knew my friend a long time before he told me anything about what he had done or where he had been. And one day at lunch, he said, "Yeah, I lost friends in that fight. Yes, I've lost two toes to frostbite. It was the most horrific experience of my life." But when his eyes misted it over, he said, "And yet, I feel blessed by God to have been there." Was he saying that the Battle of Bastogne was a good thing? No, it was a horrible, awful thing, a scarring thing. But he felt the presence of God. He felt the kingdom of God there in that place. And he knew blessedness. He knew blessedness. He knew the presence and strength of God. It's going to be hard for us to come to the attitudes because ours is a culture where we try to pretend everything's okay. You're doing, "Oh, I'm doing fine." Ours is a culture that celebrates achievement. The rewards go to the victors. Not in Christ's topsy-turvy world. Jesus is saying sometimes it's those who've experienced loss, those who know vulnerability, those who know weakness, those who experience pain. Sometimes they're the ones who sense God's presence in a more profound way than the people around them. Blessedness is not reserved for the high achievers. Sometimes it comes to those who've known deep loss. Those are hard words to hear. And yet when they penetrate us where we live, we can feel God's presence. We can feel God's power. We can sense the kingdom of God within us. And we are blessed. May we pray together. Lord, you call us to respond to your presence. You call us to react to your investment in us. May we understand that we are indebted to you, but may we also understand that in our weakness, you promise us your strength through our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Even